Fortunately, there were discarded syringes on the ground around him, a common sight in Florence, where syringes were available for free. Going to see the money, Pazzi had insisted on it. The visual Rinaldo Pazzi remembered sights completely. The first time he ever saw his penis erect, the first time he saw his own blood, the first woman he ever saw naked, the blur of the first fist coming to strike him. He remembered wandering casually into a side chapel of a Sienese church and looking into the face of St. Catherine of Siena unexpectedly, her mummified head in its immaculate white wimple resting in a reliquary shaped like a church. Seeing $3 million had the same impact on him. 300 banded blocks of $100 bills in non-sequential serial numbers. In a severe little room like a chapel, in the Geneva Credit Suisse, Mason Verge's lawyer showed Rinaldo Pazzi the money. It was wheeled in from the vault in four deep lockboxes with brass number plates. The Credit Suisse also provided a counting machine, a scale, and a clerk to operate them. Pazzi dismissed the clerk. He put his hands on top of the money once. Rinaldo Pazzi was a very competent investigator. He had spotted and arrested scam artists for 20 years. Standing in the presence of this money, listening to the arrangements, he detected no false note. If he gave them Hannibal Lecter, Mason would give him the money. In a hot, sweet rush, Pazzi realized that these people were not fooling around. Mason Verger would actually pay him. And he had no illusions about Lecter's fate. He was selling the man into torture and death. To Pazzi's credit, he acknowledged to himself what he was doing. Our freedom is worth more than the monster's life. Our happiness is more important than his suffering, he thought with the cold egoism of the damned. Whether the hour was magisterial or stood for Rinaldo and his wife is a difficult question, and there may not be a single answer. In this room, scrubbed and Swiss, neat as a wimple, Pazzi took the final vow. He turned from the money and nodded to the lawyer, Mr. Cuny. From the first box, the lawyer counted out $100,000 and handed it to Pazzi. Mr. Cuny spoke briefly into a telephone and handed the receiver to Pazzi. This is a landline encrypted, he said. The American voice, Pazzi heard, had a peculiar rhythm. Words rushed into a single breath with a pause between, and the plosives were lost. The sound of it made Pazzi slightly dizzy, as though he were straining for breath along with the speaker. Without preamble, the question.
Where is Dr. Lecter?
Pazzi, the money in one hand and the phone in the other, did not hesitate. He is the one who studies the Palazzo Capone in Florence. He is the curator.
Would you please show your identification to Mr. Cuny and hand him the telephone? He won't say your name into the telephone.
Mr. Cuny consulted a list from his pocket and said some prearranged code words to Mason. Then he handed the phone back to Pazzi.
You get the rest of the money when he is alive in our hands, Mason said. You don't have to see the doctor yourself, but you've got to identify him to us and put him in our hands. I want your documentation as well. Everything you've got on here. You'll be back in Florence tonight. You'll get instructions tonight for a meeting near Florence. The meeting will be no later than tomorrow night. There, you'll get instructions from the man who will take Dr. Lecter. He'll ask you if you know a florist. Tell him all florists are thieves. Do you understand me? I want you to cooperate with him.
I don't want Dr. Lecter in my... I don't want him near Florence when...
I understand your concern. Don't worry. He won't be.
The line went dead. In a few minutes' paperwork, $2 million was placed in escrow. Mason Verger could not get it back, but he could release it for Pazzi to claim. A Credit Suisse official summoned to the meeting room informed Pazzi the bank would charge him a negative interest to facilitate a deposit there if he converted to Swiss francs, and pay 3% compound interest only on the first 100,000.